Part 1. Early one evening in September of 1974, a small twin-engine plane, silver and black, sailed down onto a secondary runway at Sao Paulo's Congonhas Airport, and slowing, turned aside and taxied to a hangar where a limousine stood waiting. Three men, one in white, transferred from the plane to the limousine, which drove from Congonhas toward the white skyscrapers of central Sao Paulo. Some 20 minutes later, on the Avenida Ipiranga, the limousine stopped in front of Sakai, a temple-like Japanese restaurant. The three men came side by side into Sakai's large red-lacquered foyer. Two of them, in dark suits, were bulky and aggressive-looking, one blonde and the other black-haired. The third man, striding between them, was slimmer and older, in white from hat to shoes, except for a lemon-yellow necktie. He swung a fat tan briefcase in a white-gloved hand and whistled a melody, looking about with apparent pleasure. A kimono checkroom girl dipped and smiled prettily, and given the hat of the man in white, tried for his briefcase. He moved from her reach, however, and addressed himself to a lean young Japanese coming at him in a smile and a tuxedo.
"My name is Ajipizu," he announced in Portuguese, harshened by a slight German accent. "A private room is reserved for me."
He looked to be in his early 60s and had cropped grey hair, vivid and cheery brown eyes, and a neat grey hairline moustache.
"Ah, Senor Ajipizu," the Japanese exclaimed in his own version of Portuguese. "Everything's ready for your party. Will you come this way, please? Just up these stairs. I'm sure you'll be happy when you see the arrangements."
"I'm happy now," the man in white said, smiling. "It's a pleasure to be in the city."
"You live in the country?"
The man in white, following the blonde man up the stairs, nodded and sighed.
"Yes," he said dryly. "I live in the country."
The black-haired man went after him, and the Japanese went last.
The first door on the right," he called ahead. "Will you remove your shoes before you go in, please?"
The blonde man ducked a peer through an octagonal wall opening, then braced a hand against a doorpost, raised his foot behind him, and pulled the shoe from it. The man in white put forward a white-shod foot on the hallway's carpet, and the black-haired man crouched down and unfastened a gold buckle at the side of it. The blonde man, having set both his shoes aside, opened an intricately carved door and went into a pale green room beyond. The Japanese towed himself nimbly out of pumps.
"Our best room, Senor Ajibizu," he said. "Very nice."
"I'm sure it is."
The man in white pressed white-gloved fingertips against a doorpost as he watched the removal of his second shoe.
"And our imperial dinner for seven, with beer, not sake, and brandy and cigars after."
The blonde man came to the doorway. Small white scars darned his face. One of his ears had no lobe. He nodded and stepped back. The man in white, shorter now by more than normal heel height, went into the room. The Japanese followed him. The room was cool and sweet-smelling, a placid oblong, silk-walled in the hazy pale green of its tatami floor mats. At its centre, bamboo backrests with tan and white patterned cushions faced three sides of a low black oblong table, set with white plates and cups, three settings and backrests at each of the table's long sides, and one at its right end. A shallow footwell smaller than the table lay beneath it. At the room's right end, another low black table stood against the wall, two electric burners set into its surface. The wall opposite was a shoji screen of black-framed white paper.
"Plenty of room for seven,"
the Japanese said, gesturing toward the central table.
"And our best girls will be serving you. Prettiest, too."
He smiled and raised his eyebrows. The man in white, pointing at the shoji screens, asked,
"What's behind there?"
"Another private room, senor."
"Is it being used tonight?"
"It hasn't been reserved, but a party might want it."
"I reserve it."
The man in white gestured to the blonde man to open the screens. The Japanese looked at the blonde man and at the man in white again.
"It's a room for six," he said uncertainly.
Sometimes 8.
Of course. The man in white strolled away toward the end of the room. I'll pay for 8 more dinners.